Thank you, Vaughn. Thank you very much. There are two kinds of waiting that Christians do. There are two kinds of waiting that Christians do. The first kind is there's something you've asked God to do. And you've prayed, and then you've prayed, and then you've prayed some more, and you're waiting to see if God will do it. But there is another kind. God has promised there's something he will do. And you're praying for God to fulfill his promise. In that case, you're not praying or waiting to see if God will do it. You're praying and waiting to see when God will do it. Today is a thinking man's sermon. I need you to listen carefully. Let's pray. Open your word to Lord, to us and to our minds. Help us to see ourselves in Rebecca, the wife of Isaac. In Jesus' name, amen. To those of you online and to those of you who are visiting, we have spent this year dealing with the theme that you see there on the banners, I serve. We began the first 3 months talking about shaped to serve. In the second 3 months, born to serve. But this quarter has been particularly incisive. We're dealing with risking to serve. We're talking about the interesting risks that people take while supposing to serve the Lord. Today's sermon I've entitled Making Arrangements. When you are waiting, stay with me. When you are waiting for God to do something that he says he's going to do, but you don't know when, you can stoop to the temptation of making arrangements in the meantime. And there's a whole lot of folks sitting in this congregation today who wear scars on your soul because you presume to get ahead of God by making arrangements. I'll say amen for you. Amen. Making arrangements. Again, for those who are just joining us in this trek, we learned about the risks that even the Charleston Nine took by just going to church. We've learned that serving the Lord can risk your life. We learned from John the Apostle that one of the risks you take is that God will totally alter your life plan. And what you intended to do and be, God changes that in what he intends for you to do and be. That's why I'm a pastor. That wasn't my plan. I had another plan. Big money. Big house. I love cars. Several quality automobiles. Marry a pretty woman. I did the last one. Everything else fell through. Let the church say amen. But sometimes serving the Lord means that you must give up your life plan and accept His plan for your life. Would somebody say amen?
Amen.
We studied Adam. We learned the terrible risk of making decisions for self and not for God. Adam risked a whole planet, and we're still suffering from his decision. We learned from Noah the risk of taking on something that God has asked you to do and trusting that he's not asking too much. We learned from Moses that the only wealth worth having is that which comes from following God and his word. And we learned from Lot. Remember Lot? We had a time with Lot. You cannot risk your salvation, we learned from Lot, by sending mixed messages. By doing so much wrong that the right you are, that you are doing is drowned out by the bad you're doing. We won't forget Lot. Today I want to highlight a woman in Scripture. Her name is Rebecca. She's the daughter of Bethuel. Bethuel was the son of Nahor. Nahor was the brother to Abraham. So Rebecca's father, Bethuel, was a nephew to Abraham. And so Rebecca was a grandniece to Abraham. Abraham's son, Isaac, was a nephew to Rebecca's grandfather, who was Nahor. This made Isaac a first cousin to Rebecca's father. Bethuel, and a second cousin to Rebecca, who became Isaac's wife. Therefore, Isaac and Rebecca were from two different generations. He was in his 40s, she was a teenager. They came from two different generations. Stay with that, don't forget that one. They came from two different generations. They'd never met before, probably didn't know of each other's existence before, but in that culture, that was a normal marriage. And so they came together. The love story between Isaac and Rebekah is one of the shortest and most potent in Scripture. Turn with me to Genesis 24. Read this amazing account of what you wouldn't hardly call a courtship, but this is how the Bible paints it. Genesis 24, 61 through 67. Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahai-Roi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Oh, that all relationships started so simply and wonderfully. What do you say? So here they are. Isaac, much older. Rebecca, much younger. It's a risky thing, folk, to get ahead of God. And learning to wait on God takes a whole lot of patience. How many of you know I'm telling the truth? Don't sit out there all pious now. Waiting on God takes a lot of strength. Have you discovered that God does not use the same clock we use? Huh? And so here's some texts. Brethren, get my text up there on the screen. Here's some text to get us started. Let's read together. Come on, wait on the Lord. I need to hear you now. Start again. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait I say on the Lord. Don't you like that text? Got a little rhythm to it. Let's try it again. That same text. Come on. Come on. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. What will he do? So do what? Next text. Next text. Let's go there. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. Go ahead. Next one. Next one. Read. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. These are sweet texts. Do we have another one? Yes, we do. Do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. You believe those texts?
Yes.
Oh, come on, y'all. Now, we know we should believe those texts. We know we should live this life. But rather than just saying, I believe them, think about those moments in your life when you did not wait on God. Think about the soiling of your life. Think about the problems created because you just didn't wait on God. Rebecca was born about 13 generations after the flood. People were still quite strong and virile. Men and women still lived over 100 years old. The strength of her body is exemplified in that when Abraham's servant Eliezer, on search for the wife of Isaac, led by God, came to the well that Rebecca frequented for water, not only did Rebecca give him water when asked, but Eliezer had prayed also that she would offer water to the camels. Please understand that he's a wealthy man. He's the servant of a multi-billionaire by standards today. He's got lots of camels. Here's what the Bible says. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. Now, please understand, folk, that she used a cod. What did she use? You don't know what a cod is. It is a pitcher that holds 30 pounds of water. Now, the pitcher itself weighed 15 pounds. So this woman, come on, somebody, this woman is running back and forth with 45 pounds. Come on, y'all, of water on her shoulders, and he had at least, according to the commentary, 6 camels, and kept drawing water until these camels were satisfied. The sister wasn't just fine, she was strong as an ox. And so this is the kind of person we're dealing with. According to verse 19, she was thoughtful. Verse 18, she was bold. Verse 25, she was hospitable. I'm in Genesis 24, verses 25 and 32. She had a background of abundance and wealth. And then verses 54 to 58, Genesis 24. And he said to the men who were with him and ate and drank and stayed all night, and they arose in the morning and said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother, that is, Rebekah's family, said, let the young woman stay with us for a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go. And he said to them, do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master. So they said, we will call the young woman. Do what? And ask her personally. And when they called Rebekah, she said to her to her family, we will go. Will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. She was a decision maker. Now, people like this, smart, materially secure, servants, food, clothing, and water, has made her independent and confident and, quite frankly, used to having her way and the things she wanted as well as she needed. And like a lot of Americans, She was not used to waiting. And she marries a man more well-to-do than she is, and so she's used to having things brought to her as she needs them. And you don't have to be wealthy like Rebecca. There are many people sitting in this room who just don't do well waiting to see what God will do. And particularly when God promises something, we want to push God. Learning to rely on God, the kind of reliance that trusts that something will happen that seems right and proper to happen, but it is not happening. It is so tempting to get involved in making arrangements to bring to pass what we feel needs to happen, especially when God has said that it will, but we tire of waiting. I'm involved with someone, and they are not yet a member of the church, but they're also a Christian. And so I go on ahead of God and get involved with them, even to the point of marriage. Y'all sitting awful quiet now. And rather than waiting on God to bring them to truth, we move ahead of God and make a decision that we should not make till God shows his hand. What do you say out there? We have a job promised to us, but we know that every now and then we'll have to come in on Sabbath and work on that job. And rather than taking a stand, we go on and decide we'll take the job, hoping we never have to come in, and then find out every other Sabbath we have to come in. And then, rather than taking a stand, we look back over a year and we've kept more days on Sabbath at work than we've kept Sabbath in church. Making arrangements. Rebecca was married to a child of promise. Abraham and Sarah waited 25 years for God to keep that promise. Isaac surely told her his history. God tested her when she first married Isaac. She was childless. The biblical record says, now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebecca, his wife, conceived. But you see, if you compare Genesis 25:20 with 25:26, she waited 20 years before she had a baby. Now remember, she'd been told through Isaac that she would bear the child of promise, that Isaac would have so many descendants, they'd be like the sands of the sea. But for 20 years, she had to wait for God to even give her a child to believe in. Now this was a test for her. For the next test that's coming, this was a test for her. God said, you'll have descendants. 20 years. Remember, Isaac's parents waited 25 years. How good do you do at waiting on God? How faithful you are in waiting on God when things aren't going the way God promised. We have been waiting, folk, for over 2,000 years for the Lord to keep his promise. I will come again. And while we've been waiting, many of us have gotten involved in making arrangements. Come on, somebody. Making arrangements that don't suit God because we've wearied on waiting on the Lord to keep a promise that he said he would keep. She gets pregnant, and the pregnancy is challenging. She talks to God. He says, two nations are in your womb, and the older will serve the younger. Now, she's just come through 20 years of waiting. A person's true character is shown by how they act under stress. And so Genesis 25:27 says, so the boys grew. Now we have no idea how much time passed between verses 26 and 27. In verse 26, they are born. Verse 27, they are grown. But the commentaries say another 20 years went by. And in those 20 years, the marriage lost its romance. The couple are together, but not together. Verse 28 says, and Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, we don't know from reading the Bible if Rebekah told her husband about the prediction made by God about the older one day serving the younger. She obviously told Jacob because of the self-serving trick he pulls on his brother. Remember the birthright stuff? So you got a family problem. You got Jacob making arrangements, and you're going to see in a moment his mother making arrangements. But the Bible said, wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah 8:17 says, and I will wait on the Lord who hides his face from Jacob. I will hope in him. Waiting on the Lord. My son Michael went into the Marines in Desert Storm. Now, folk, I claim the promise of God that he will save my children. I claim that promise. I claim it every day. You'll save my children. When Mike came back from the war, having seen his closest friend blown in half before his eyes, the legs over here, the body over here, my son came back from the war struggling with alcohol. And every day for the year he lived with us before the Lord took him, we would pray, Lord, bring him back. Lord, bring him back. You ever prayed a prayer to God and things get worse? Yes. Come on! Yes. It gets worse! Yes. It's like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. It gets worse! We saw him go further and further and further into this grip of alcohol. We'd hear him sometimes come in the house late at night, Warfield, and we would know he was stoned. I wouldn't get up, let him get to his room. I would go in and check and make sure he was okay. We kept praying. Listen to me, folks. We kept praying. We kept praying. See, wait, I say on the Lord. He kept praying. And I said to the Lord, you promised me you'd save the children. You said that to me. He started having wrecks because he would be driving drunk. But we kept praying. Hear the pastor. We kept praying. We kept pressing God. You see, what you got to do, no matter how long God takes, you hold him to his word. Don't be afraid to say to God, you said, you said, if I return my tithe, I'll open the windows of heaven. You said it. I ain't got no money. Keep praying. You said, you said, 10,000 will fall at your side. 1,000, they will not come nigh thee. You said it. Hold God to his word. He likes for you to make him keep his promises. And so we're sitting in church one day. And the appeal was made. His father is preaching. The same father whose word he'd ignored time and time again. His father is preaching and the appeal is made. And that boy gets up. Come on, somebody. That boy gets up, walks down the aisle, gives himself to God, and a week later dies in an automobile accident. All I'm saying to you is, ladies and gentlemen, if God has said something, you just keep that thing right up in God's face. We know the rest of the story. It's found in chapter 27 in Genesis. That is the day when Rebekah hears the conversation between Isaac and Esau. Isaac is nearing death and recognizes that he needs to impart a blessing to his eldest son. There's a book, a quote from the book Patriarchs and Prophets that I found interesting. Put it up there. I found this very interesting. Read, Rebekah, everybody, Rebekah remembered the words of the angel, and she read with clear insight Then her husband, the character of her sons. Now, God has told her when they were born, Jacob will rule. But as they grow up, Esau's the favorite. As they grow up, Jacob does not seem to be assertive of all. He does not seem to be a leader. He doesn't seem to be a take-charge guy. And so Rebekah's wrestling with it. God said. And you see, what the devil likes to do is make you get to the point where you think you can help God keep his promise. I'm reading. She was convinced, come on, that the heritage of divine promise was intended for Jacob. She repeated to Isaac the angel's words. So she told Isaac. Read on. But his father's affections centered upon the older son. Now note. You have Jacob making arrangements. You have Isaac resisting the word of God and making arrangements. And now you have Rebekah. The whole family has the disease of pushing God. See, I don't care how many jobs you don't get, or how many jobs you get fired from. When you start making arrangements that have you breaking God's Sabbath, is anybody listening to me?
Yes.
I don't care how tight your bill's getting, how much money you don't have, Aaron. When you start making arrangements, now, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay tithe as often as I can, do the best I can with tithe. But, Lord, what I'm going to do, I'm going to keep a record. And you mean it. I'm going to keep a record. And then when things get better, I'll return the tithe I owe you. And you know what happens? Things get worse. You know I'm telling the truth. Because the devil is not going to let you be successful when you start making arrangements contrary to the will of God. So here she is. She starts making arrangements. We're going to get married anyhow. Let's go on and move in together. God knows we love each other. And you sleep in your room, I'll sleep in mine. And then because you don't have as much control over your passions as Satan does, there is that moment. And you were sincere. You really didn't plan to sleep together, but you put yourself in the same house, right around each other, coming in the evening, sometimes catching her not quite dressed, him not quite dressed, or you curl up on the couch and you watch a movie. You have every intention of doing what is right. But folk, when you tiptoe out on Satan's territory, and you look up and you look back, and there's only one room being used. Have y'all noticed that the weekends, that the amens to this sermon have been weak the whole sermon? I keep on trying to get a loud amen out of this congregation today. I can hardly get just kind of a amen, amen, amen. Hey, you know I'm telling the truth. Rebecca said, come here, Jacob. I tell you what we're going to do. Because God, and she justified it. He told me, the younger, now Jacob, come on, you go get the meat. I'll cook it, and I'll take the lambskin and put on your, you know, really, I mean, Jacob was a brave dude, because I'm going to tell you very frankly. You know, he putting skin on his neck and on his hands. If Isaac's hand had just slipped down, I mean, no way in the world I'm going to do that. And remember, we blame Jacob, but it was Rebekah's idea. She is the one that God said, the younger will serve the older. Here's what's so sad. Pastor's almost done with this sermon. Here's what's so sad. Supposing, hey, when she heard Esau and Jacob talking, and saw he was about to get the blessing. Supposing, Frank, she had gone to her knees God, you said. I don't know how you're going to work it out, but I'm trusting you. Maybe Esau won't find any meat. Maybe Jacob won't be able to do it. But God, I'm not going to make any arrangements. The only arrangement I'm going to make is to follow my knees and trust God to do what he says. He doesn't need your help. He makes planets. They never saw each other's face again. Rebecca never saw the face of her favorite son again. Jacob never saw the face of his mother again. Making arrangements. It's risky to make arrangements. The only arrangement is, thus saith the Lord. Do what he says. Pastor, I've been praying and praying. I just don't know when God is going to come through. That's the plan. See, that's the plan, Anwar. That's the plan. God, why would God tell you when he's going to come the second time? Why would he do that? He knows you. Some of us would be late to our own funeral. So he's not going to tell you when he's coming. He's going to tell you, I am coming. That's it. Because you'd be arranging to do your thing right down to the last month before he shows up. And then you'd be in church every night. Pastor, open the doors of the church. I need to pray every night. I got 5,000 sins to confess. Please, Lord, let's have prayer meeting in the morning, afternoon, and in the evening. Let's have church service 5 times a day. He's coming next month. Come on, Lord. He ain't telling you nothing. How many know the pastor's telling the truth? Ain't telling you nothing. Because you'd be busy making arrangements. Right down to the last. Dump all them girlfriends. He's coming in January. Get rid of all them girlfriends in December. Yes, sir. Put away all, get all my beer. Drink my last beer December 15. He's coming on January 1. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And let's take by Christmas time, let's get all the photography out. I got 7 days to be saved. Yes, sir. He's not going to tell you nothing. Why? It's the nature of human beings to make arrangements. You hear me, Vaughn? Am I telling the truth? That's what we do. Rebecca is in all of us, trying to make things work, trying to work things out, trying to set things up. Making arrangements. Somebody's sitting here right now involved in some kind of arrangement. You're sitting right here looking at me. You've made some kind of an arrangement. You don't think God knows how to handle your life. So you're boosting him along. Remember Jairus? Remember Jairus? His daughter was sick. Remember him, Terry? Yeah, yeah. He comes to Jesus, says, look, here's what you do. Come, lay your hands on her. Now he's telling Jesus how to heal. It's in the Bible. Yeah, come to my house, lay your hands on her. You better be glad, folks, I'm not Jesus. I'd have said, what did you say? You telling me? Shut your mouth, boy. I can heal her standing right here. Jesus didn't say a word. Remember that story? Didn't say a word. Jairus making arrangements. He just starts walking. In the process of walking, a lady touches his garment. She'd been sick 12 years. When she gets healed, she wants to testify. It's right there. The Bible says she told all she had been through. And Jairus is standing there, making arrangements. I picture him with his hand on Jesus' elbow. Come on, Lord, let's just kind of get to it here if we can. My daughter's dying. If you just come along, come along. Jesus, hey, hey! Jesus waits until his daughter dies. And then the servants show up. Jairus, your daughter's dead. His hand drops off Jesus' elbow. Lord, she's dead. And I can hear Jesus say, now if you just get out of my way. Listen to me. If you just now, that's why she's dead, Jairus. I need you to get out of my way. That's why your plans did not work. He needs you to get out of his way. Stop making plans. Trust God. Just trust him. You don't need you making arrangements with the boss about the Sabbath or making arrangements with your relationship. Some people are sitting here right now in unhealthy relationships. And here's your arrangement. Well, I know it's not a good relationship, but I don't want to hurt their feelings. Then got quiet in the house again. I don't want to hurt their feelings. So we're going to taper off. We won't have sex as much as we used to. Where'd the man get this sermon? Where'd he get this sermon? All this in Rebecca? Yep, sure is. Right there in Rebecca. I saw it. That's why I'm preaching it. Court, I can't leave it out because it's in the Bible. And you look up 2 years later, and you're still in that sorry relationship, still sinning because you made an arrangement. God can't bless. The only arrangement is I'm out of here. It ain't right. You're a nut. I'm a nut. Nuts don't do well together. You go your way. I'm going my way. That's not preaching, Anwar. Sing the song.
All the way, yes. My Savior leads me. What have I to ask besides?
You don't need to make arrangements, folks.
Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide?
You know it.
Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell.
For I know
whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well.
How about it, balcony? Any arrangements up there? Any stuff you're trying to make work that ain't working and can't work because God ain't in it? There's one promise that God has made to you that you can go to the bank on. I will come again. You can't make right out of wrong. So if anybody in the balcony has made some Rebecca arrangements trying to help God out with something he said he's going to do, but you're trying to do it your way, I appeal to you, give it up. Just wait on God, let him do it his way. This side over here, somebody sitting over here, and the sermon just beat you up. Today's sermon just beat you up. You sitting there knowing the sermon's for you. You in some kind of an arrangement, some kind, not kosher, trying to help God. Because you got tired of waiting on God to do even what he said he would do. So he says, if you return tithe, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. You can't handle it. And you're saying, I've been waiting on them windows open for about 50 years, Lord. Ain't nothing coming out them windows. So I'm spending my tithe. What about you folk here in the middle? Arrangements? And we try to cram this stuff down God's throat, and then we holify it. God knows my heart. That's the problem. Over here. Next verse, Anwar. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed.
All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Flushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see.
Now listen to my appeal very carefully. I don't want you to come down here to me. But if you need to make an arrangement with God today to study his word in preparation for baptism, you need to make an arrangement with God today. You've been coming and coming to transfer your membership to this church, become a full part of this fellowship. If you need to make an arrangement today, you've already studied, but you've never taken your stand for baptism. And you need to make an arrangement with God today to be in the next baptism. If that's your need, if that's your desire, let me be clear. Bible study, transfer, baptism. Today, you're going to make an arrangement with God to give your life fully to him. And that's your desire. I want the clerks watching, if you're here, stand. Don't come down, just stand. Just stand. Clerks, move toward the people who are standing. Get their names. Stay standing till the clerk comes to you. Watch the balcony. Another person standing here. Three folk over here standing. Let the church say amen. When you've gotten the slip of paper, be seated and fill it out. Somebody else standing. Bible study, transfer, baptism. Five have stood. Will there be six? Is someone standing in the balcony that I can't see? If you see the person, move toward them, please. If you're in the balcony, just raise your hand. You stood and we didn't see you. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Now to close our service and this sermon, let's all stand together and let's sing. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Stand together. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Sing it now. Don't mess around with it. Sing it.